47. It took another 10 minutes before they could drag themselves away from the fault. Nate had heard of people hypnotized by the sheer scale of the Grand Canyon when they saw it in person. All the movies and television specials in the world couldn't prepare someone for the sight of a solid object that went from horizon to horizon. Seeing an exposed fault line had the same effect. They wandered to the generators. There was a battered desk set up a few yards past them. The discolored wood blended into the stone wall. A few yards beyond that was a wooden shed, its boards just as bleached as the desk. Nate could feel the heat coming off the generators. They weren't red hot, but he thought they'd still burn his fingers. Each of the big turbines was coated with years of dust and dirt that had cooked into soot. He wrapped his hand in his shirt and took a few swipes at the hot metal. The steel gleamed beneath the grime. "Check this out," said Zila. She'd used her own shirt to clear a big patch on the next generator in line. A strip of silver and black was riveted on the dull metal. She gave it another wipe with the shirt. Nate and Roger looked over her shoulder at the curling letters. Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company. Roger glanced at them.
"That's a real company, isn't it? They make kitchen appliances and stuff."
"I think they used to do everything electric," said Nate. "How much power do you think these put out?" Roger shrugged.
"Generators on set are half this size. Think they put out something like 1500 or 1600 amps.
Zila gazed up at the steel cylinder.
"Does twice as big mean twice as much power?"
He shrugged again.
"Not my thing. Might mean more power. Might just mean they're older."
Nate walked along the row of generators. Each one had the Westinghouse label hidden by the layer of dust and silt. He recognized it by shape. There was a heavy plaque marked with a Roman numeral at the base of each generator. He was standing in front of 4, and Zila had just cleaned 5. The one closest to the fault line was 6. He took a few more steps, past 3, and approached 2. Zila had her camera up again and was getting photos of each plaque.
"Did you notice the base?"
She pointed at the floor. The generator sat on a raised platform carved out of the rock. It was fitted with steel straps that wrapped back and forth across it.
"These things are solid."
The desk was warped and cracked. It reminded Nate of pictures of house fires, where some of the furniture had been in the home and exposed to the heat, but hadn't caught fire. In front of the desk stood a charred white framework of wood that might have been a chair 100 years earlier. A windswept pile of rags between the legs was all that was left of a seat cushion. The desk itself was barren and warm to the touch. There was a black fountain pen and a cracked ink bottle. A newspaper stuck out of one of the desk's pigeonholes. Nate touched it and the edge crumbled away. He yanked his fingers back and tried to read what he could of the fragile headline.
"Anything?"
asked Roger. Nate shook his head.
"I wrecked some of the date. I think it's the 20th of some month in 1894, but that's all I've got."
He angled his head. "It looks like there's a dozen little articles all on the front page." Zila pushed him gently aside and lined up her camera. It clicked once.
"You know what bugs me?"
She dipped her head at the rolled up paper in the pigeonhole and the camera clicked again.
"In the movies, when people find some dusty old chamber or something, there's always a newspaper with some big banner headline that nails the date. Titanic sinks or Japanese attack Pearl Harbor or something like that. It always knocks me out of the movie."
The camera clicked again. Nate smirked.
"You think it's more believable that this is a crap daily paper? Don't you?" "I'm not having a lot of trouble believing all this."
"I am," muttered Roger. "Still doesn't make sense."
They left Nate to study the desk and moved to the shed. Zila pried open the door and barked out a laugh.
"Oh, of course there's a bathroom here," she said.
"Yeah," said Roger. "If only you could have held it for another 3 hours.
She peered down the hole of the outhouse.
"Not too sure I'd feel safe sitting there anyway."
"Worried something would grab you?"
"Worried I'd fall through," she said.
Nate crouched between the desk and the outhouse. The ground was covered with papers. They fluttered in the constant breeze coming out of the chasm. Most of them danced near the desk and pressed themselves in the rough corner where the floor and ceiling ran together. Some of them were trapped further out on the floor, pinned by random eddies and air currents. They were singed on the edges or burned black. Nate reached to touch one, and it collapsed into ash that was swept away on the constant breezes. He squinted his eyes at the next one and tried to make out the faded ink lines.
"Can you get photos of these?"
he called over his shoulder. Zila looked back.
"Which ones?"
"All of them, as many as you can." She nodded and bent to the closest page. Roger crouched next to her.
"Drink some water."
"I'm not thirsty."
Ain't about being thirsty, he said. It's about staying hydrated on the job, you know. You're not sweating that much. Her lips formed a quick grin.
You're watching me sweat. That's not too creepy.
Damn hot in here. Suck to get heat stroke at the bottom of those tunnels.
She pulled a bottle from her pack and he did the same.
We could ride the elevator back.
She washed the words down with a double mouthful of water. He took three deep swallows from his own bottle and wet his head again.
Don't know about you, Roger said, but I'm not too keen on getting in a 100-year-old wooden elevator with a cable a mile long.
She smiled again and went back to taking photos. Nate took a few steps and his eyes slid around the room. Generators, cables, pipes, supports, chandelier. Roger joined him and held out a water bottle.
What you thinking?
He took the bottle, tipped his head back, and poured it into his mouth.
I'm thinking we're missing something, he said, wiping his mouth on his arm.
Roger looked at him.
What do you mean?
Nate waved his arm at the row of generators.
Okay. You said movie generators are half this size and put out 1,500 amps, right?
Think so, yeah, but it's not really my thing, you know?
Nate nodded. So, even if these aren't any more powerful, there's still six of them, so they're putting out at least 9,000 amps, maybe twice that. Roger nodded.
If all this is going up to the building, said Nate, what's using it all? It's not like we're using all this to power a couple dozen refrigerators and computers.
Flat screens suck up a lot of power, said Roger.
Not that much, said Nate. Heck, I think a subway only uses a couple hundred to push a train, so what's using all the power from six big generators like this? Guys, called Zila, take a look at this.
Zila was crouched in front of a piece of paper. As they got closer, Nate could see the brittle edges where more of it had crumbled away. Going off what was left, the original could have been the size of a large poster. Then he saw the lines, faded, but still clear enough.
You see what I see?
Zila pointed at the drawing. The image was a large rectangle. It was divided into multiple levels, and the top three were subdivided by more layered lines, so each of the top three sections had two large squares separated by a narrow rectangle. It took Nate a moment to realize he was looking at a cross-section of a building, the Kavach building. On the second floor, the right-hand square was marked with a thick X that filled most of the box. The mark was so heavy, it had lasted a century. Four words were written outside the large rectangle next to the marked square. They were some of the only words on the sheet that hadn't faded to a blur. Nate recognized all of them. He understood the bottom one. Danger. Across from the marked square was a different shape. It was another rectangle extending up to the top floor. There were four words next to Clive and Debbie's apartment, right on the brittle edge of the paper. Half of the top two had crumbled away, but they could just read the bottom word. Control.